Okay, I'm going to go first, and I'm sure when it's his turn, I'll probably think of everything that I forgot. But when I first heard that they wanted us to do this, I was actually really excited. And I was like, well, this is cool, you know. And then I listened to everybody else from last camp meeting, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm a little nervous now. But I do have a few thoughts and ask you to pray for me, because I am really nervous about it. I'm not used to speaking like this. So we met. The first question that we had, how did you meet? And we met in the winter. It was official meeting where somebody introduced us and everything. And that was winter camp meeting of 2008. And I was 20 years old. So that was in the winter. So it's springtime. We started talking and texting in the springtime. And I remember Brother Josh Kemp, he got it all together. We were going to go on this walk. I think I got there. Did we get there? And he wasn't there? Something. He staged it. He was gone. He wasn't there. So it was just Mike and I were walking on the bike trail. But it gave us a chance to talk, of course, without Brother Josh wasn't there. But we really just talked, and we just kept talking and talking. And then it was youth, that it was on a Friday, so I went to youth service that night. But, is anyone in here, have they read the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye? Have you, anybody heard about it at all? There's nobody. It's okay, Nolan. It's okay. It's a really good book.
Heard about it.
Read it. It's a really good book. I was basically, before I even met Mike, I actually read that book, and I feel like it was a great help to choosing the right one and just everything, just being satisfied with not having it someone. I mean, I know I wasn't like an old maid or anything, but, you know, I was 20 years old, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm ready for the next phase of life. What's happening? My grandpa, he would always talk to me and just be that like governor in my life. And when I would start talking to maybe somebody that he was a little nervous about, I remember he'd just always be there talking to me. And having a grandpa that's a pastor also, it's kind of awkward, like it's weird sometimes, I guess, to go to him for different things. But he was in the grandpa mode, and I'm very thankful for having that throughout my life. It saved me from a lot of heartache when I listened to him, and I'm just very thankful for that. There was times where he, you know, had to get tough with me and really talk to me, and, you know, what are you doing, Renee? And I'm just very thankful for that in my life. Growing up, you know, I was that kid that we picked last for different things, and you know, and that's okay, and that's fine to be that. My thoughts here. So Sister Cummings Sunday School class, growing up, of course, everyone, and some things I might be repeating that other people has talked about, but I'm just gonna go for it. Sister Cummings, she would always teach us to pray. How many has heard that in their class? Pray for the right companion. So you grow up, you always hear that. Even before, in her class, I was scared of boys. I was like, what? Okay, whatever. So we always had that in front of our mind in her class. And then my grandma, she told us, better to never marry than to be married to the wrong one. And growing up, you know, you see different things that happen to other lives. See other, relationships that don't go anywhere, and maybe they get married and a year down the road it's apart. And you know, I didn't want to just date. I wanted to find the right one. I didn't want to be one of those to date this person. I just wanted to be able to find the right one and you know, go on. I'm thankful for how he just always helped me. Also, while you're waiting, stay busy in the work. If you have a job, that you're not able to make it to youth activities, different things, I would highly encourage you to make it to the youth activities. I know that's something that really anchored me and helped me. If you think you're too old for it, go anyways, because the youth leaders, they need that. They need the older ones, and the younger young people need the older ones to look up to. So I would highly encourage that. I know there's times I did get a job where I was missing some, but I'm thankful he helped us. He helped me through that. I'm very thankful. I had a job where I had to work every other Sundays, and I was able to go in. It was a job where I was able to go in really, really early, and I was able to make it to even the Sunday school. I think I was able to make it to Sunday school because some Sundays I worked half a day, but the Lord helped me work that out, so I wasn't missing much there. You never know if you skip youth activities. You never know. You could miss out on meeting the right one. So you just want to always try to be there. Let's see here. Carly, can you read Psalms 138 and 8 for me?
The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not thy worship.
So the scripture she read, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And I kept that. That's just my scripture. A lot of my friends, they know that growing up, I would just always quote them, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth you. And I just keep, you know, saying that. And he really did. I mean, it's a concern when you're in youth and you're not the one with a boyfriend or with a girlfriend and like, okay, what's wrong with me? But there is a reason. There is a reason. I mean, Mike wasn't even around when I was going through this period anyway. He's one of the ones that got prayed in, and I'm, of course, very happy for that. Let's see here, Psalms 40 and 8. I delight to do thy will, O God, yet the law is within my heart. And I most people here, I'm sure, they want to do what God's will is. They want the right one for their life. There's many times, I'm sure most of you have, you hear of a list maybe of what they like in this person, but I had personal convictions in my life, and there are things that, wasn't a sin if I did them, but it's things the Lord showed me, just like the brother here was talking about, not having social media. I mean, that's a personal conviction, and if he, and that's great. And the Lord can send him somebody that has the same personal convictions. Before Mike and I, when we started dating, we figured out we had the same personal convictions. There was same things there, and that is that's a key. That's what you have to have, some of those, because once you're married, I mean, I can't imagine and like I said, they're not sins, but they're just things that you have a personal conviction over. And the Lord will just bring those together. It said, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. So the person that you may be considering, I'm sure a lot of you have somebody that you're like, okay, watching. I would suggest or just watch the person. See what do they delight to do? Is there, do they want to go to church? I'm assuming everybody wants to go to church that's here. But, sometimes you got to watch. Some may be coming just for a girlfriend, just for a boyfriend. So if you can just be patient. I know when I was trying to be patient, sometimes it gets rough when you're like, okay, what's going on, where is my life heading? But you've got to be patient, because the Lord will perfect that which concerneth you. I remember my grandma telling me about Mike, and I think it was before I even was considering him, she told me to pray about him. So I always have that memory of my grandma telling me to do that. It says, how did you know that he or she was the right one? So most people that know me, I'm very indecisive. It's hard for me to make up my mind on anything. Ask Mike, he's, I mean, there's a lot of times I'll have to ask him and over, like, just make a decision. You know, when we were young people going somewhere to eat, I never was like, okay, I don't know, okay, just pick. But with Mike, I mean, and this was, I mean, I've talked to different people before. Being single, I talked to different ones, but once we started talking, there was a peace. I mean, I knew he was the right one. I always prayed for somebody spiritual. I prayed for somebody that knew where he was with God, you know? If you want somebody spiritual, you want somebody, and there was different ones in the church, of course, but just when we started talking, I knew it was, I didn't even really question too much. It was just somebody that helped me grow spiritually. It wasn't a hindrance to my salvation. And when we dated, we were always going to visitation and visiting a lot of people. I remember one time dating, we was at his Aunt Karen's house there and writing out cards and sending cards, you know, just wholesome things. And when I dated in the past, well, I didn't date too much, but the ones that I talked to before, I'm very thankful that he helped me figure out, okay, this isn't going anywhere, so I was able to break it off right there. It wasn't awkward as we got older. Like now, it's not awkward, like if I'm looking at the person, like, okay, it's not awkward at all, and I'm very thankful that he helped me do that. If you're in a relationship where you know it's not going to go anywhere, I encourage you just to pray about it and break it off, because you can never go wrong by waiting, by praying, making sure it's the right one. Just because you both are saved, there could be something down the road, you know, there could be, you just don't know. So if you can be patient, we've been married for 11 years and you witness a lot of things, people come and go, and it breaks your heart to see the ones that decide they have their own way. I have a lot of family members that went their own way, and it's sad because they're not here to enjoy the good things. So if you can just be encouraged, if you're thinking you're on the older side of and the youth, just hang in there. Be encouraged. God has the perfect one for you. I know he does, because he gave me the perfect one for me. Even though I feel like our marriage is so great, you know, there's times when the devil, he's going to want to break it down. He's going to want to break any home down that's living for the Lord. And you've got to have that assurance to go back on. You've got to be able to stand there and tell the devil and be able to fight. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for everything he's helped me in. There's been a lot of things that he's helped me. Maybe things that I'm like, okay, I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that. But he's encouraged me and helped me to be better in areas that I just never thought. I just thought, okay, this is me, it's who I am. But he's been a great influence in every single way. And I think that's all I have. I'll let him finish everything that I forgot.
Well, you can see why I married her, right? She's a good girl, right?
Yes.
And a lot of hard times in life, and I'm going to be very candid with you tonight, because somebody in here might need it. Somebody that's going to listen to this is going to need it, and I'm going to be as candid as probably I've ever been, because this is so important. And you're at a stage in life where there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of exciting things to do. And life involves having company, right? Having company. Well, of course you want company. And you don't just want the guy company. It came to a point in my life where I didn't want to hang out with guys all the time. Girls started exhibiting that beauty, and you started being attracted to them, and that's going to come. It's, you're there now. And I thought, many times in the world, we see all these examples in the world. There's a show, I see the t-shirts all the time, Friends. That's a sitcom. That's not life. And if you want to pattern your life after a sitcom, I'm here to tell you, it's going to be miserable. Right. Now on the show, on these shows, it's all fun, games. It's not the way it works. It's very serious. And you have to determine who you're going to marry. Wow, what a responsibility. Huge responsibility. And as in my life, I made a decision to go out in the world. The Lord dealt with me as a young man, and I decided to go my way. And I ended up getting married. Dated for 6 years, was married for two. And I knew who I was marrying. And their family was partiers. That's what I did. We partied. Party, party, party. And but there's one thing that I was observing the whole time in this lifestyle. There was no happiness, including myself. And the fateful evening, coming down from watching a Carolina football game at Notre Dame, and stopped in at God's Acres and got saved. And the weight of that ride home was something that I can never describe to you. I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders, and it was God wanting me to make a decision. I had avoided him. I had ran from him for so long. And I knew that this decision for Christ was going to cost me. And that's why it was so heavy. Well, made the decision after just mulling it in my mind. I told God, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. And it come to a point where God, that change is so violent. It is violent. A man that was a drinker, a partier, becomes interested in the things of God, stops drinking, stops talking a certain way, and it's a violent change. Well, she decided, her exact words were, you've become another man. And I didn't marry that man, and I don't want to go that way. And so she left. And divorce, I'm here to tell you, it's a terrible thing. It'll rip you apart. And so why would you ever want to get involved in a situation where you want to be ripped apart? And if you get the wrong companion, that's what you're asking for. And so she left. And I moved to Newark, and I focused on my relationship with God. I lost everything. I come up here with my truck and a little U-Haul. My whole life was gone. But I made a decision that I was all in. I was all in. And so I lived with my aunt. We prayed together. What a foundation that was. Praying with her every night. She taught me how to pray. And once that divorce was final, I began seeking God's will on the second most important decision. And we that are older, and you in here that are older, you should make better decisions because you have more experience. That just makes sense. And not all of you are 30 years old and looking for a companion. You might get to that point. But you that are older should have better decision-making because you have more experience and you've observed more. And God has given you more wisdom and experience. And so I set my mind, I wanted to know God's will. Whether it was to stay single, which that wasn't my desire at all, but I was willing to do it if that's what God wanted. And during this process, my pastor was in my mind. I wanted his approval. I did not want to make a decision and not have his approval. And so as I prayed and I fasted, And I thought about fasting. I know you're all young here, and I don't know what you think about fasting, but I'm here to tell you it works. It's very effective. And fasting is one of those things. I was thinking about this tonight, and it has been nice as we've been asked to do this to think about our dating and just life is so fast. We have children now. I don't really have time to think, it seems. And it was nice just to reminisce. And I like to reminisce on good things, don't you?
Right.
And so God has laid a path for me that when I look back at what God has done for me, it's good. And I'm proud of what God has done. But as I sought, I fasted like I've never fasted in my life. And I wanted an answer. Now, every one of us are going to walk different paths, and He's going to answer you in different ways. But I prayed and I fasted for whatever the Lord's will was. Well, I was with the young people. I had a rest home singing, and I'll never forget it. It's something that's dear to my heart because God spoke, and it wasn't an impression. I've been impressed, but this time He spoke. And there we were singing, just singing away. And bam, it hit me like lightning. He said, "There's your wife." And there she stood right across from me. And it startled me. It really did. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't. I saw her around the congregation. I didn't know her. I saw her testify. But I had no personal connection with her. And so just like Mary, I pondered these things in my heart. Months. Just kind of pondered them. Would think about it from time to time, but just pondered it. Well, the Henrys had us over. Brother and Sister Henry, King Matchmakers. It was actually a birthday party for Brother Josh. Brother Josh is a lot in my life. Appreciate that, brother. We've had some good times. And it was his birthday party, and a good memory from there. We all sat down and eating ice cream. We just dug in. Brother Henry walks in. Many of you don't know him, some of you do. Very spiritual brother. He said, "We should pray for our food." We all just stopped because we're just digging in on it. It's ice cream and cake. You don't pray over that, right? We're just digging in. And he stopped us. I'll never forget that. And I felt bad. And we just stand there looking and he prays. But that is the first time that I noticed her. And there is such a thing in the scriptures as God magnifying somebody. You say, what does that mean? He begins to change you. And He can do it because He did that for me. And because I didn't know her. But something started happening. I noticed her. And after that, that's when we began to talk. And my brother-in-law is over there. He broke his arm so he could break the door down. That's the first time she called me. She's over at Blushing. It was her first excuse to call me. We went skiing. Drove 4 hours, and on the second run, he loses control, breaks his arm. It was a really bad situation. And fortunately, he didn't die in the accident. But she called. First time we ever had contact that way. I didn't call back, but... but it's been a good journey. And so we dated, and the one thing that obviously I wanted to do was consult my pastor. And, of course, that he had one concern. And I agree with him. There's an age difference. There's 12 years between us. And I had the confidence to know that God had told me that. But I also had the confidence to know that whatever He was going to tell me to do, that's what I was going to do. And if you have that kind of confidence in your youth leaders and in your pastor, God is going to bless you. He might tell you to wait. Even though you know that they're the right one, if you were to hear, "I think you need to wait a little bit," I would obey that counsel. Because if God said it, He's going to bring it to pass eventually. Yeah. So he mulled it over in his mind. And I don't know if her grandma was influencing him. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I don't know. But we started dating. And it's been an awesome journey. And I think about one of the many challenges is loneliness. Every one of us are going to encounter that. It's powerful. And believe me, my aunt has told me many a story, she's never been married, of how powerful loneliness is. It's powerful. And loneliness causes us to make bad decisions. We see this all over the place, young people. I know you do. You see it everywhere. And bad decisions create all kinds of issues. And in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 12, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. And when you're saved, I don't want to come under the influence of something that's going to pull me the wrong way. When I got saved, I avoided that at all costs. Whether it be partying, drinking, those things that I used to do, I avoided that. I don't want to be brought under. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by any and brought under its power, allowing it to control me. And so every one of you, if you get into a relationship, I wanted someone that was going to be beneficial, don't you?
Right. Amen.
I want something more than just company. Listen, we all can just have company. You can have company with anybody, anytime, but are they beneficial? And I wanted somebody that was going to be beneficial in my home and to my children. That other person that you're going to marry is going to help raise your child. And I will tell you what, when you have a child, you're going to develop strong feelings on how you're going to raise that child. And a companion is going to make those decisions with you. We always hear about salvation and Christ being the foundation, and that's so true, spiritually. But did you know in the flesh, that person you're going to marry becomes part of your co-foundation in the flesh? It's so important. And if that part of the foundation is weak and unsteady and unstable, it's going to affect you. Whether I don't care how strong you think you are, you're going to be affected. I can't imagine trying to do my small responsibilities that I have in church and in life with somebody who was working against me. I really don't think I could do it. But when somebody is working with you, it's an awesome, awesome thing.
Amen.
And one of the things that come to me so strongly, because they're such an asset in my life, is you need to consider, number one, who they hang out with, and in-laws. I didn't think about this. I didn't really know them. But when you marry that individual, in-laws, I'm here to tell you, they have way more influence than you would ever believe.
Right.
Powerful influence. Now, that being said, I am very thankful for the in-laws that I have. Brother Jared and Sister Lindy over there, we hang out together. Their children are going to hang out with my children. They're going to influence one another. My mother-in-law helps take care of the kids while they're down in the pew. You see that. My wife needs help. They help tremendously. And to think about my in-laws, even if my wife was great, but my in-laws were working against us, did you know that that would be another hurdle? And I'm not saying you can hold somebody just because of their in-laws. I'm not saying that. But you best consider it. Because in-laws do make a difference in your life. And I'm here to tell you, they can make you miserable. We always hear those in-law jokes, but there's some truth to them. And so I'm very thankful that she has a perspective. She was raised in the church. I decided to go out in the world. Foolish decision. But I have the perspective of the world, and we work really well together, because when I'm dealing with somebody in the world, I know where they came from. She comes from the church, so she has a different perspective of how things work. And I value her opinion and her feelings on matter. She brought up something the other night. I can't share it, about a situation. It was a great thought, and I'm still chewing on it. And a wise wife or a wise companion is going to be beneficial to every one of you. Or you can just go out and make your own decision, but you need to know what God says. I can't make that exciting. I can't make that exciting. If you want to go to school, Brother Reggie went to school for 9 years. There's nothing exciting about that to me one bit. You know what he had to do? Day by day, he had to go to a lot of school, right? Get up and just go to school. Well, did you know that you're going to have to do the same thing with a companion? You're just going to have to give up and live your life day by day until God shows you who that person is. And even when he shows you, it's going to take more time. Time, time, time. There's just some things you can't hurry. We plant these tomatoes in the spring. I want a garden tomato. I just can't wait, but you got to wait on it. You can't speed this up. And relationships are just like that. This matter is so important. That's why God takes his time. We think of God as just, he can do what he wants and he can just speed this process up. No, it's so important. That's why it takes time. He's watching you. And he's watching both parties, and he's weighing it. He's God Almighty. And when the right time comes, he's going to bring you in, bring you together, and give you a life that you can't imagine. And I think about, I'm going to end on a teacher. And he would bow before his class because he talked about, I don't know in here it has the potential. And one of those students was Martin Luther. And he was a mighty individual in the Reformation. And I bow, so to speak, before this class because I'm talking to people that are serving God. And the great potential that's in this room is absolutely amazing. But there's one big obstacle. If you get the wrong companion, the power, the opportunity to work for God is going to be inhibited. That's a fact. I don't care how spiritual you are. If you choose the wrong one, have you heard that phrase, the old ball and chain? I don't want to be married to a ball and chain. And I see it at work. People want to go out and drink. They want to go to the bars. They want to be everywhere but home. You know why? Because they don't have a good home. I want to get to home. I can't get there any faster than I possibly get there. I want to see my kids. I want to talk to my wife. I've been at work all day around people that are not my family. I want to be home with my family. And so we're praying for every one of you. And it has been truly a privilege to stand before you. And we pray for the young people. I'm very close with Brother Steve and Sister Sherry. I surround myself with people that are in it to win it. I don't like duds. I don't like laziness. I want to be around people that are in it to win it. And so, come on, all this potential in here. And you start hanging around somebody, first of all, that don't work, that has no track record. You bring all these variables into your life, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle anyway. And then on top of that, you're not going to prosper spiritually. It's the worst combination imaginable. So we're praying for you. We love you. And there's nothing more exciting. What is it? What am I supposed to say?
The 4th of August.
Oh, the 4th of August is when I asked her to start dating. So it's a nice little time, right? And we were out riding our bikes under a full moon. It was very romantic, actually. Just cruising around Newark. Went downtown, just riding all around. Young people can have fun. Spiritual people can have fun. And appreciate each and every one of you and the opportunity to speak to you. And listen to him. He may speak to you. It may be just that drawing. But counsel. You have plenty of counselors around here. And when there's something that they're not real comfortable talking about that person, I would take note of that. I would take note of that. Because I haven't been anywhere in here in leadership at God's Acres where they have some vendetta out that they don't want young people to have fun. I don't believe that one bit. They're concerned about you. They're praying for you. And if they don't feel right about a situation, it may take time for them to see it. And I would give them time to see it because this is too important. This is far too important. But we love you. Praying for you. You're an awesome group. And there's nothing better. There's some weddings coming up. Brother Cody over there, some weddings coming up. And I'm excited I told him to make it in the evening because it's easier for me to get there because I have to work on Saturdays. I'm excited about that one. I am. I'm excited when you guys, brothers and sisters, make good decisions. It's an exciting thing. And those weddings, I look forward to. And we can have those if we listen to the Lord. Love you and bless you.